kind of a name is this? And people are always good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I guess you're probably wondering what kind of a name is this? And people always just have a hard time pronouncing my name, but I was just going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm from West Africa, Ghana, West Africa, and I have been here in the United States since 91. And I'm a credential minister with Assemblies of God since 2009. And currently, I'm serving on the staff of Word of Life International Church in Ashburn. I'm one of the associate pastors. And thank you this morning for inviting me here to share God's word with you. Can we pray? Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to sit at your feet and hear your word. Father, this morning, let me step aside and let the people here, Lord, see you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that, Lord, you come in power, Lord. Come and minister through me. Come, oh God, and prepare every heart here. Father, I pray that, Lord, your word will come and sow a seed that will in days to come, oh God, will bring forth fruit, oh God. We thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it is, seems good in your sight. Says, all things has been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This I would like to title this morning's sermon, Invitation from Jesus. Before Jesus threw the invitation and told the people to come to him, those who are heavy laden, Jesus established himself as God. He established himself as one of the Godheads. If we go to verse 20, it says, all things has been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Here, Jesus is saying, you have a burden, I have the answer. You have the burden and you need to go to the Father for the Father to solve that burden. I am the door. I am the way that you can pass through to go and receive the help from the Father. We live in a society, it's a pluralistic society, and what we think that you can serve any other gods and go to heaven. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but except through me. Amen. Jesus Christ was the only one who was bold and was proud, was able to say, I am the way. Hare Krishna wasn't able to say that. Buddha wasn't able to say that. Muhammad wasn't able to say that. They all said they are part of the way, but Jesus said, I am the only way. He is the door to heaven. And he is saying that I come. He is throwing an invitation to us this morning. He says, come. I couldn't have come here if I wasn't invited. I couldn't have shown up here and stand in front of the pulpit to preach to you if I wasn't invited. You cannot just show up at the White House if you are not invited. But this morning, Jesus is inviting, he says, come. So if he's saying, come, he says, come to me and I would like to reveal the Father to you. Maybe you are here this morning, you say you don't know Jesus. You don't know God. Here's the challenge, he says, come. He's calling us out to come. Or you are here, he says, I know God. I have been walking with God for years. The question is the Father in every area of your life? Jesus is saying, come, and I would like to reveal the Father. We get saved. There are other areas in our life that we struggle with. And that's what Jesus is talking about. As we go on, we will see it. That's what Jesus was talking about. All the time, there are situations that comes into our life that makes us look Jesus from, basically, we diminish Jesus in our lives. And we're going to see that if we can go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 to 5, we will see what happened to John the Baptist. Says, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another one? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you've heard and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead they appear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one who introduced Jesus. But because John was in prison, now John is doubting who Jesus is. Says, do we look for another one, or are you really the Messiah? When things happen to us, when we go through things, at times we question who Jesus is. About 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with carcinoid cancer on my liver. And you know, going through that, which even now I'm still doing chemo. Going through that, it got to a point that I started questioning who Jesus is. I look around and says, the sinners don't even have this disease. God, I'm worshiping you. God, I'm doing all this thing for you. Why do I have this disease? And at times we question those things. There are things that happen to us and it puts us at a place that we are questioning who Jesus is. John the Baptist went through that. John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist heard when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and rested on Jesus. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. John was there. But how come now John is in prison? John is doubting the Messiah. Don't let situation doubt who Jesus is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow down to Jesus. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. When he died, death couldn't hold him in the grave. The devil thought that he has eliminated Jesus, but on the third day, Jesus resurrected. So we worship a God, or we worship someone who is not dead. But situation come, and at times try to take, just makes us not trust God. But here, so Jesus throws the invitation out. Verse 28, it says, "Come, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's throwing an invitation. At times we need to take an honest look inwardly what is going on. The question to you this morning is, what is making me anxious? What is making me stressful? What is making me disappointed? What is making me depressed? And what is making me oppressed? These things we need to ask, we need to just be honest with ourselves and say, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Why am I having this load on me? Jesus said, those who have labored and are heavy laden. Are you carrying some stress? Are you carrying a heavy load? That heavy load can be maybe in your marriage. On the outside, everything looks fine. But when we go to our homes, there's war. Is it in your finance that the heavy load is on you? Is it a bad habit that you're trying to break? This habit has gripped you for years. Yes, you are saved, but for some reason, you have a habit that you cannot break. And that habit is destroying you. You can't seem to not get on the porn side and watch porn. And anytime you do it, you feel bad, you go to God and you confess. You're trying to do this and stop it through your own strength. Is it your walk with God that you don't seem to get it right? It's a heavy load. And Jesus is saying, don't carry that load by yourself. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7 says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Everything that you are going through, everything, is it, like I talk about, is it your health? Because the doctors, they don't have the answer. I don't know how many treatments that they put me on. It got to a point I said, you know, it's a trial and error. They're trying to see if this will work. They try this, it doesn't work. They try this, it doesn't work. They try this, it doesn't work. They don't have the answer. The only one who has the answer is Jesus. So if Jesus has the answer, then what I need to do is to take those burdens and go to him, because he has already thrown the invitation out. He says, come. But most of the time, we want to take things into our own hands. It's the finances. We want to take things into our own hands. And at times we end up getting 3 jobs. And you still find yourself still in debt because they are made some habitual spending lifestyle that you haven't started. We're trying to do things in our own way. And Jesus is saying to you and me today, that he is right there with you. He knows exactly what you are going through. He says, I want to come alongside you and help you. Is it in ministry that you have a heavy load that has become a burden to you? He says, let me come alongside. Bring those burdens to me,
He already knows it.
But he wants you to fess up to it and go back, like we just read from 1 Peter, it says, humble yourself. By you going to God, you're telling God, God, I'm humbling myself. God, I don't have the answer. You do. But we think we have the answer. We wake up early in the morning. We go to work. We have degrees. We have education. If you're a tradesman, you go and you learn. You think that you are the ship. You are the captain of your ship. Because you did all these things through your own. At times we think it's through our own strength. But even with the talent, who gave you that? It's God. So just because we have a good profession and it's providing us money doesn't mean that we are in control of ourselves. Just because you live in the world, in a good neighborhood, doesn't mean that it's because of what you've done. I mean, and as a matter of fact, at times we think that, oh, if we have the money, if we have this, we have that, we will be happy. But ask yourself, why do even some who are well off, they end up taking their lives? They end up committing suicide. Because the burden is too much and they don't know what to do. But you and I, we know who can come alongside and help. So he says, come to me, all you who have labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke is a piece of beam which is used between two animals to pull a load. In those days, and I think if you go to some third world countries, they still do that. They'll put a beam and wrap it around to, it can be a cattle or it can be an oxen, they wrap it around it and they use that to tilt the ground or they use that to pull farming equipment. And here Jesus is telling them, come to me, says 29, says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. What Jesus is saying, yes, there is a load that needs to be pulled. That load, you cannot pull it by yourself. He says, I want to put that yoke. I want to put a beam across your neck and my neck. And I'm not going to, because when these animals, they are pulling the load, they have to stay side by side. One cannot be up front and one cannot be behind. They stay side by side. Jesus is saying to you today, your load, the heavy laden that is upon, he says, I'm going to be side by side with you. I'm going to work with you. And we are going to pull this load together. This load is not, you are not meant to carry this load. That is why I came to this world. That's why I came to bring salvation. And the salvation, this load is included in your salvation. Just because you've been saved, don't stop there and let those heavy load you down so that you can really enjoy your walk with God. Jesus is telling you this morning, let him come and help you. Amen. Is it your marriage? He says, I want to be right there with you. And the way he might work with you will be different from the way he will work with me. In those days, Jesus' days, when they were making the yoke, they look at the animal and they make the yoke to really fit the neck of the animal. And the yoke that Jesus is going to put is custom made for you. He knows you. He made you. He knows your temperament. He knows everything about you. So the way that he will walk with you will be totally different from the way you walk with your brother or sister. And most of the time, what we do, if God moves in someone's life that way, or you pick up a book and you read the book and this is how God used the person, this is how God did it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't read books, but what happened is the book should encourage you and tell you that, you know, God is a God that he can come through for me. But he is not saying that do exactly what he did with the other person. That's why he says, I want yoke. Yoking means that it's a relationship that you have with him. So the way that he will walk with me, the way that he will treat me will be totally different from you. Or you cannot sit back and go, how come that person is not getting their life together? You know, when I had this problem and I went to Jesus, in 2 weeks I was healed or I was set free. What is your problem? And we have that critical spirit, and we look at people's life and we go, you've had this habit, or even you can see that between husband and wife. It's like you've been like this all along, and what is happening is you're trying to change that person. It's not going to happen. The only person that can change your spouse is Jesus. If you allow Jesus to come in your marriage, and if you've allowed him to hook that yoke, he is the one that's going to work with your spouse. You leave your wife to your wife or your husband or your wife to Jesus. Cast that burden to him, because there is no way you will be able to change your wife. You will not be able to change your husband. We talk about finance. We have ways of getting our finance together. Is it a spending habit? Do we give to God? Now, when that burden is there, Jesus is saying, when you come, I'm going to work with you. When you come, these are the things that you're going to learn. And you learn these things from what? Digging into God's Word. You learn these things into praying, going to God. So our question or our challenge this morning is, he is throwing the invitation. If he is throwing, he is saying, come, you have a load. Like, you know, someone, you are holding something and it's so heavy, you can't do it, and someone can I give you help? And you go, no. And that's what we do. He said, I'm standing here. I want to help you. He did not just come. You know, we think that Jesus came and our God is so mean that he comes, and if you don't repent, he's sending you to hell. We have this mentality about God. And even if when we get saved, we think that, oh, we just get saved because he wants to take us to heaven. So all the other aspects of our lives, we think that that's how it is. He says he came to give us life, and life abundant. Yes, we have everlasting life. What about the abundance of life? Yes, there has been a lot of, maybe some false teachers talk about the prosperity movement, and at times they go off a little bit to the other side and extend it. But God still wants us to prosper. He does not want us to be in debt. He does not want our body sickness to rule over our bodies. So we have, there are a lot of things that we have as burden. This morning, if we can take that, those burdens to Him, He has invited us. And He is the only one who goes, if we can read Matthew 11, verse 27 again, says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the Son to whom, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him." Jesus is willing to reveal the Son and the Father in that area in your life. It's a habit that you want to break, but you can break the habit. This morning He wants, Jesus is saying that, "I want to reveal that area in your, I want to let the Father comes in, because I am the door. And if you say you want the Father's help, if you come through me, then you're going to get the Father's help." Yes, at times the help will come. Jesus' help will come in the form in someone coming in and helping you. I'm not saying that it always has to be just you pray to God and God miraculously heal you. No. He uses people to come. All we need to do is to go to Him and present our petition. Throughout the Bible, you hear Him saying, if you bind here, everything you bind here on earth is what? Is mine in heaven. Even when He was teaching his disciples how to pray, you look at the Lord's Prayer, the Pardon Prayer. You look at it, he goes, you need to ask for what? Our daily bread. If you look at the prayer very carefully, you see how it's laid out. Everything about temptation, about this, God does not want us to suffer. If we can go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. Going. He says, "In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He is saying that your will, he says, when you pray, say, pray that your God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You know that heaven, alright, sickness is not there. Heaven, stress is not there. Heaven, depression is not there. And Jesus is teaching his disciples and says, when you pray, have this in mind, that if you are going through these things, it's not normal. He goes and says, 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive others." Says, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." If you look at this prayer very carefully, what actually he is talking about is just basically freedom. So that you don't, say, deliver us from the evil one. Give us our daily bread. So God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And if Paul talks about it, he says, nothing can even come and separate the love that God has for us. He says, is this distress? It can't separate that love. He says, is it demons? It can't come in and separate that love. He loves you so much that even if you are the only one here on planet Earth that you you are a sinner. God would have still sent Jesus to die for you. That's how much he loves you. So don't let us walk around and think that God hates us, that God is upset with us. God loves us, and God does not want us to carry our burden with us. The Holy Spirit is telling us this morning that Jesus is saying, come. He wants to help you. He wants to take the load off of you. He wants to be with you. He will stay with you till the end. And like I was saying, with the things that I've been through for 5 years, at times I wonder, it's just the peace that it comes going through chemo. And it's like people go, you don't look like someone who is going through that. It's the peace. And at times the pain that I go through, you can't keep the food down and all the things that I go through. I ask myself, how am I able to do this? But in the middle of it, I realize if I take that burden and give it to him, he has promised peace. That peace, he's the only one that can give you that peace. Your wife can give you that peace. Your husband can give you that peace. Your big fat check can give you that peace. The only one that comes in and give you that peace, you can be in the middle of a storm and you still wake up every morning with your head up, knowing that you have a God that loves you, knowing that you have Jesus with you, that he will come alongside and carry your burden with you. So I would like to encourage you this morning that don't take the load by yourself. Let God come in, come alongside you, and help you with the load that you are carrying. Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful message. Amen.